I'm going to start a revolt, but it's kind of that day anyway. Walked in the flower shop yesterday. Anybody remember it was Valentine's Day? Hit him, Jen.
I thought it was tomorrow.
And so I had three or four gals come, and they were all anxious to sell me some flowers. And I said, what did my wife get for me? They looked at me like this was supposed to only be a woman's day. So I'll just start a riot. We'll just stop there. Anyway, I use that to introduce a message. We're going to talk about love. It's really been interesting times in the Lord. And I've been praying for some specific things just to happen in my life and in this body. And this morning the Lord said, I'm starting to do some of that stuff. I told him, I want to be specific about the prophetic. You see, we're a prophetic evangelistic church. And I told God, I want to know who I'm talking to. I believe we can have a prophetic vision of love. You say, what are you talking about? I personally believe that God wants to point out people that he wants us to get involved in, no matter how they're living right now, and he's going to place a new love that we've never had for them before in our lives. I believe he wants us to see that. I believe you're going to be walking by people and you're going to say, there's an attachment here. There's a relationship that God wants me to have with that person, and I don't really know him. I believe that love is an overwhelming key to this community. We've been asking God, give us a community. God, do this. God, show me this. And God says, do you love the people? How many of us look at people and say, well, they're this, or they're that, or they're some different race? And God is saying, the doors will never be unlocked until I can trust you to love that person regardless of how they're living now. We okay?
Yes, sir.
Because somebody realized the Bible says something really strange, that love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean that love takes a place of the blood of Christ. It just simply means when we love that person, we stop looking at all their sin and start seeing the potential that God's placed in them.
Amen.
And I believe as pastor, God has to change me first. You had a great chance to say amen. You sure blew that one. And so what I want to do is give you 4 points that I believe God gave me. I love coming in here and just sitting in that chair after I kneel and just say, okay, God, you know who's going to be there tomorrow. You know what the church is. Give me something to say. And give us ears to hear. The one thing God spoke to me, I believe, really clear about love, 2 points, and I'm not even going to preach them. Number one, love doesn't use people. And two, real love doesn't control people. Fear controls people. So take your hands, close them, open them up, and say, I'm freeing everybody I've been trying to control. Because I've tried that. That will rattle your insecurity. First Corinthians chapter 13 is beautiful, and it's not about Valentine's Day. It's about being anointed and walking in the Spirit and how the Spirit works through us and what the Spirit wants to see in us. If I have the tongues of men and angels and have not love, what am I? Just making noise. Right? That'd be like Kirk saying, okay, Pastor, you're leading worship today and we're not playing. That would be a lot of noise. Would never reach music, but that would be noise, okay? Get the band up here and we'll show them. How many believe me, it would be noise? Okay. Shelley, you're very nice. Verse number 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. True confessions. How many's ever had the never come to pass? Hello. How many charity never faileth? Charity always fails. All been there. Here we go. This is what I jotted down. I don't usually carry this around, but I'm going to this morning, or at least look at them. Love sees potential in all things, in all people. Love sees where God can bring them and develop in them and grow in them and build them into. How many of you would have chosen the 12 disciples? You're building a kingdom. Hello? You're building a kingdom, so Jesus goes down to the lake and walks by some stinky fishermen and says, you're the leaders. Do you know why? Because he saw what they could be. Can I tell you something? It was messy for a while. I'd like to be doing an outreach in a town and all of a sudden two of your leaders come and say, let's call down fire on these people. Let's fry them. Sounds like love to me. But he saw potential. Can I tell you something? He saw potential in Judas. He wasn't blindsided by Judas. Can I tell you something? Judas walked in the anointing of God. Judas cast out demons and healed the sick. How do I know? Because he sent out 12. He didn't send out 11. Right?
Yes, sir.
Do you ever think about that? How many of you named your kids Judas? How many named your kids John or Peter? They even call people Tom. Thomas wasn't the greatest man of faith in the world. Unless I put my fingers in his hands and put my hand in his side, I'm not believing. But the love of Jesus changed these men in 3.5 years to where they became the leaders of the kingdom of God on earth. Right?
Yes, sir.
And Jesus said, I'm going on a vacation. You're in charge. Been a long vacation. He trusted them. He gave them a little boost. He gave them the Holy Spirit. He said, now go do the things I did. Walk the way I walked. Live the life I lived. How many of you, if 35 years ago or 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago, someone had said, well, you're going to be just like those holy rollers. You're going to be in there singing, you're listening to this young guy lead worship and his wife and the worship team, and you're going to almost move and dance and shake your hips and do all the stuff that you're doing, and you're going to be praising God, and you're going to be just a radical Jesus freak. How many of you would have believed that before you come to Christ? Yeah, okay, so you're sitting at the bar, somebody comes up to you and say, well, I just think you're going to go that route of this Jesus stuff. I think you're a Billy Graham follower. I think you're just going to be a holy roller. You just said, what? But look where you are. What happened? God saw some potential. He knew what the Holy Spirit could do. And he loved you enough to change your life.
Amen.
Right?
And
you know what he does now? He says, go do the same. Go do the same. Take that love and give it away.
That's right.
Oral Roberts used to say, and you've heard me say it, a bell's not a bell till you ring it, a song's not a song till you sing it, love is not love, and it wasn't put in your heart to stay, love's not love till you give it away. Those people you're rubbing shoulders with. Those people you're talking to over lunch. Those people that you see come out of the bar every night. Those people who are accused of selling drugs in your neighborhood. They have potential.
Yes, sir.
They have potential. And God doesn't want you to be afraid of him because he loves him. Some people are living the only life they've ever seen. They were raised with dysfunctional families. They were raised with alcohol. They were raised with drugs. They were raised with abuse. They were raised with all kinds of stuff. And the church looks at him and says, straighten your life up. Get it together. How many times are you going to spend the night in jail before you get things worked out? Until somebody tells them the truth, maybe. This is not a white thing or a Native American thing. It's a people thing. Number two, Love is not about what somebody can do for me or my interests. Boy, it'd be nice if that person would come alongside me and help me because they could do all this stuff for me. Or what a blessing they'd be in the church because people would realize that COC is drawing some very important people. Hello? This is true religion. If you visit the orphans and the widows and keep yourself pure. Pure religion, visiting the orphans and widows. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you just a story that happened last week. I go to get the mail and God says, stop and see Martha. I just knew it. Clear as a bell. I mean, I was going to get over there, try to get over there that week. Today's the day. So I stopped and asked Martha, do you want communion? Yeah, she says, yeah. I said, okay, I'll be back. I walked in and she said, would you look on the door for me? And I said, look on the door, yeah. Somebody's supposed to bring me some dinner. I'm here by myself today. And I looked on the door. There was no dinner. I said, Martha, you hungry? Oh, I'm okay. I said, Martha, are you hungry? Yeah, she said, I could eat a sandwich. I said, is hamburger okay? Yeah. So what'd I do? I'll bring you one tomorrow. I went over and got her hamburger and some fries and she just snarfed them down. There's all kinds of people that just need somebody to care. They have nothing to give back. They have nothing to help your status. They have nothing to prove. They just need help. And sometimes we just kind of look and if I help that person, love that person, what's in it for me? Maybe nothing on earth. But Jesus recognized the widow's mite. It was important to him. So I want to love people without expecting anything back. Nothing back. Except your friendly smiles and you're picking on me. The trip to Fargo was just a little boring because nobody picked on Pastor. I didn't know quite what to do. I thought maybe I might change my stripes or something. So love's not looking what's in it for us. It's looking what we can do to help others. Number three. And I've dealt with this one the last few weeks. Really tough. Love never gives up on somebody. Do you ever feel rejected? Do you ever have a door slam in your face? Not literally, but. Do you ever have somebody promise, well, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll be there and I'll have this? And you go looking for them, can't find them, they don't show up. You got a meeting with them. I had to repent. I almost wrote somebody off and said, I ain't doing it. But at times we just look at it and say, I can't take no more. Take no more of what? Being lied to? Being deceived? Hanging in there? Man. You know the greatest feeling in the world is when you see one of these people you've been working with just come back to Christ. Come and just simply say very casually, thanks for being there. Anybody can give up. Anybody can throw up their hands and say, I'm not talking to them no more. I'm not calling them anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. Then what? telling the devil, have at him? He already is. Jesus could have abandoned so many people. What would you have done if we were having a crusade somewhere and two guys come in and say, let's just burn the city. People aren't worth living. Let's just torch it. Oh yeah, get the dynamite, get the matches. No. What would you have done if one of your inner circle, keep in mind Jesus had 12 disciples, three were inner circle. Three were on the inside. Three he took wherever he went, basically. Peter, James, and John, right? And so you're having your leaders meeting and Peter, James, and John there, and all of a sudden you look at Peter and say, you're going to deny me. Peter says, oh, no, not me. Jesus, I'll die for you. I'll take the sword and I'll cut off Malchus's ear. Too bad he wasn't a better shot. But you know what's going to happen. A few days later, no, I don't know him. No, I never been with him. Blankety blank, I don't know him. And then Peter looks up and Jesus is looking at him. Or one of the little bit of the outer circle is going to sell you for 30 pieces of silver. You're going to have a church cleaning. You're out. You're out. And you might be out too. True. But he didn't. He went through it. Give up? Wasn't it his vocabulary? Just wasn't there. People will say naughty things about you. They'll lie about you. They'll do all kinds of stuff. And it's hard to believe God loves them, but he loves them as much as us. That's hard. Because we can all look at Jesus. Jesus, I laid down everything for you. I gave up everything. And this person's given up nothing. And you treat them like you treat me. What's the matter with this picture? Poor me. Then there's a third part, or fourth part, and I'm done. Loving people will enable you to get really hurt till it feels like your heart's been torn out. We don't want to even think that Jesus had emotions. How many of you have ever thought of that? Jesus was kind of emotional at times. He came to the grave of Lazarus, and what did he do? He wept. And there may be different reasons of why people say he wept, but he wept. He was emotional. He came to the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says he wept over Jerusalem because they didn't recognize the day of their visitation. And he knew what that meant. He knew that the walls were going to be torn down. The Roman soldiers were coming in. Many of the people that didn't want to accept him would be dead. He knew that. And he wept. Can you imagine that? People who questioned who he was, questioned who his father was, questioned that the Holy Spirit was the one doing it him, and told him, you cast out demons by demons. They called him demon-possessed. And yet he came to the city and he wept over it. You talk about a man that was relational, you'll find that person in Jesus Christ. How long since we wept because somebody needed Christ? How long since we've read that verse, those that sow in tears will reap in joy, and surely they'll come bearing their sheaves before them. What about being hurt over deaths? I was a young pastor preaching in Virginia, Minnesota many years ago. My first funeral was a 9-year-old boy who drowned in a swimming pool in Hibbing, Minnesota at a birthday party. The people went in to drink in the bar and left the kids in the pool, and when they came out, Craig was dead. We had a men's retreat, so I didn't go to a service one night, and on the way home, this pastor came across a car accident. His name was Bob Kozak. Some of you may have heard of Bob. Used to work in Mobridge and now works in Rapid. And Bob looked and there was a blanket covering somebody, and he looked and he said, "Boy, that sure looks like my car." And nobody was there, or at least right where he was, so he walked over and lifted up the blanket and there was his wife. You cry over that. Love hurts when other people hurt and rejoices when other people rejoice. Or you sit with somebody who's been just diagnosed with cancer or some other disease, and it's not a casual time. It's a time of trust. It's a time of Christ. But it's an opportunity to get involved in people's lives. When you love, you get hurt. I want to tell you something. It's better than not loving.
That's right.
It's better than not loving at all. And there are things many of us will still go through. But we still love. We don't shut it down. We don't close the door and build up a wall and say, "Nobody's getting in here. I'm not going to do that no more. That could hurt." Because we can just shut the door and live our life, become, so to speak, a hermit. And walk it out. I'd rather see somebody shedding tears over somebody instead of just saying, "I don't care. Let them go." I told them what would happen if they kept going that road. I told them it wouldn't work. I told them this. I told them that. There comes a time when we quit talking and we just show love. When they want to come back and talk, they'll talk. We don't condone actions. We don't condone sin. That's not it. It's just being there, loving them. Letting them know somebody really cares. Somebody really willing to take the risk. And you'll have people say, "Well, that's stupid. You know what they did so-and-so, and you know how they handled so-and-so, and you know did something." Hey, you don't step into a transference thing. You don't step into becoming emotionally involved. You love them with the love of Christ, and you try to help them. Amen? love. That's how we reach our community. And love isn't just sitting on the couch saying, I love you. It's just stepping into the relationships where God leads you. Because God knows. He knows. And while you're ministering the love, he's going to show you things that's going to minister freedom. We want to see people set free. But if we don't love them, what's going to happen to them when they're set free? Where do they go? I'm going to tell you a quick story. I'm done. I think Barb took the call. The guy told her he was a witch. Remember that, Barb? And he said, I've called all these pastors and nobody come and see me. They hang up on me. And so Barb says, well, our pastor's crazy. He'll come see anybody. So I drive out to see him. Talk. Come back a couple weeks later, and he prays a prayer with me. Start ministering to him and his girlfriend. And the sad part of it is I lost contact. And I'll take credit for that. Had some freedom. I blew it. I'm sad, feel bad. That's where freedom came, without the love to carry it through. Love the person. Set them free. But keep loving them as their freedom is coming. Amen.